This is Honda Classic Live, your weekly trip around the golf world. Originating from the unofficial golf capital of the world, Palm Beach County.
Well, here we are again at a familiar place. Tiger Woods and his back. Once again, the biggest story in golf. And this is problematic not just because it's another back surgery for Tiger Woods, but because it's the top story in golf. Saturday morning, Honda Classic Live, only golf radio show in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. And it's our pleasure to bring it to you here on ESPN 106.3. I am Ken Levicka. And for the next hour, we talk the week in golf, including Tiger Woods. Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post, he will weigh in on Tiger and everything happening on the PGA Tour. And we'll also talk with the sports professor, Rick Haro, to discuss the sports business side of golf. But let's get right in to our opening drive, and it is brought to you by Tire Kingdom. All you need at Tire Kingdom, whether you need new tires, an oil change, new brakes, wiper blades, or an inspection, make sure to stop by Tire Kingdom. Their convenient hours and locations make it easy to get the services you need, and they've always got great deals on the top tire brands. Schedule an appointment today. Tire Kingdom, proud to offer everything it takes to keep your car on the road. When you need new tires, don't look any further than Tire Kingdom. Over 1 million tires in stock. We're talking Michelin, BF Goodrich, Goodyear, Continental, Cooper, Nitto, Yokohama, Pirelli, and more. For tires, oil, service, and repairs, head to your neighborhood Tire Kingdom. And trust me, you have a neighborhood Tire Kingdom. That is all you need. Go to TireKingdom.com and make your appointment, which also can be curbside. Tiger Woods' fifth back surgery, the announcement made earlier this week. He has what to him amounts as a minor procedure, a microdiscectomy, that was done to remove a pressurized disc fragment that was pinching a nerve in his back. He actually had two of these procedures, 2014-2015 season, but this back surgery, number five for Tiger, and he is out for the foreseeable future, according to a press release from him. He's hoping that he can be back by the Masters, which gets underway April 8th. But key word there, hoping, not I will, but hoping he will be back. So we're not going to see Tiger for quite some time. And of course, this led all media outlets in the golf world this week. And that struck me as troubling. And not because I'm a huge Tiger fan and it's unfortunate he had another back surgery, and not because it further pushes Tiger away from any realistic chance of catching and surpassing Jack's major record, and that's about non-existent at this point, but we're talking about a Tiger Woods who is still in 2021, and he hasn't won a tournament since 2019. He's still the face of golf, and he's still the only player who can undergo a procedure like this, and it becomes the top story in golf. This could happen to Brooks Koepka. This could happen to Bryson DeChambeau. This could happen to Justin Thomas, and it wouldn't matter nearly as much as it does when it happens to Tiger Woods. And at some point, and this includes me in the golf media, we're going to have to get over the fact that it's Tiger all the time. We've got to move on. We've got to start doing a better job of promoting the future stars of the game. Give equal attention. Stop obsessing over the constant back issues, health issues, physical issues of Tiger Woods, because they're not going anywhere. That's not going to change. He's going to have a sixth and a seventh and an eighth and a ninth back procedure. It's almost a certainty that Tiger is going to have another back surgery before he wins another major. It's almost a certainty that Tiger Woods is going to have another back surgery before he wins another tournament. He is solely undergoing back surgeries right now to temporarily give him the chance to go out on the course and compete. He's beyond damaged goods. He's a novelty now, and I'm not trying to disrespect Tiger Woods. I'm not trying to diminish Tiger Woods. What I'm saying is that we've got to be realistic about Tiger Woods. He's not the main story anymore. He is in the past. He is an all-time great. He might be the all-time great. But when it comes to the modern-day professional golf discussion, he's a non-factor. He wasn't going to be competitive or able to be realistically in the hunt Sunday at this year's Masters without the back surgery. We saw what happened at last year's Masters. Gave us a glimmer of hope. Faded off predictably on Sunday. Back in November. He's really not going to be able to compete, as Sean Fairholm has laid out, our Golf Insider Global Golf Post, at any other major this year because of the layouts of the courses. It's just not realistic. And even Tiger himself is acknowledging that, yes, getting old is tough. He's been using wedges as canes to get out of bunkers in the near past. He can't keep being the top story when he undergoes a back procedure or any sort of medical procedure, a knee procedure. We are doing the game. We are doing the PGA Tour. We are doing golf a disservice with our obsession over Tiger's back and all of the scalpels and the medical equipment that's going into his back. We fell into it again this week. And it's breaking news, and it's the top news story without being revelatory in any way. None of us are surprised, nor should we be dismayed any longer about another Tiger Woods back surgery, because we should just expect it. It should just be a fleeting, glancing attention grabber for just mere moments in the golf media cycle when Tiger Woods has another back procedure. Instead of focusing on Tiger, his back, what it means for the Masters, what it means for his chances at winning another major. Again, he has a better chance of having another back procedure before he does winning a major or even a tournament. Instead of focusing on Tiger and his back, we should be focusing on Brooks Koepka's return at the American Express Championship this weekend. We should be focusing on what does Ricky Fowler have to do to get back to winning ways on the PGA Tour. We should be focusing on Kevin Na finally realizing some potential and picking up a win last week. We should be focusing on Justin Thomas and his quest to figure out why the homophobic slur, the F word, was what popped into his mind during a bout of frustration 2 weeks ago in Hawaii after missing a putt third round Saturday. These are the things we should be focusing on. Those are the top stories in golf. Tiger Woods' back no longer is. And it's sad. And it's sad to see an all-time great fade. But Tiger Woods now is a novelty, and we need to start treating him as such. It needs to be, hey, it was great when you saw Arnie or saw Jack walking 16 at Augusta. Those were great moments. You knew they were just being paraded out there because they are and were gems of the game. But they're not competing for anything. So the discussion needs to turn away from, can Tiger keep competitive despite the back? And we need to realize that he's not going to be competitive. And maybe he goes and plays some tournaments here in the next 5 years on the Champions Tour. He's going to keep having the back procedures. He's going to continue to fade and fade and fade out of contention. Maybe occasionally he'll be there on a Saturday so we have something to grasp at on a Sunday. But it's widely believed, not just by Sean Fairholm, Global Golf Post, and myself, but it's widely believed that the only major that Tiger Woods has any chance at competing at here for the rest of his career is the Masters. And he's going to have a perfect weekend. A perfect weekend with a ton going his way. So golf is doing itself a disservice, and how we cover golf, it's doing the game a disservice. This game we all love, when every time Tiger Woods has a back surgery, has a surgical procedure, period, because you could throw his knee into that as well, we focus on it, make it the biggest story, and speculate what this means for his quest for Jack's record. Jack's record is not attainable. It's not going to happen. And we're going to be lucky if Tiger Woods is even going to play at Augusta come April. So focus on the players who are relevant now. Tiger Woods is relevant because of his past, not because of what he's going to currently provide. And the more we focus on him and his past, the less that's going to mean towards the growth of the game, finally ushering in the new era of stars who are going to be able to compete for championships. And I'm saying all of this is a die-hard, tried-and-true Tiger Woods fan. Honda Classic Live here on ESPN 106.3. Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post, is going to jump on with us in just a couple of minutes. But I'd be remiss if I did not bring up the passing of baseball legend, former home run king. And for some people, he's still the rightful home run king, depending on how you feel about Barry Bonds. But Hank Aaron passing away yesterday at the age of 86. Hank Aaron lived in West Palm Beach for a long time. As a Brave, spent a lot of time in West Palm Beach at the Braves' former spring training facility, which is right off of Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard in West Palm Beach. The stadium no longer stands. It's a Home Depot now, but you know the location. If you've lived in West Palm Beach at all or have been in West Palm Beach at all, you understand the rich history that the Braves and baseball had with spring training here and Hank Aaron spending a lot of time in West Palm. And again, someone who lived in West Palm Beach, someone who worked closely with the community, Coleman Park in West Palm Beach. He did a lot to make sure that that park was available for the very, very sizable and very influential black community in West Palm Beach. He worked closely with former Mayor Lois Frankel to make Coleman Park happen and also to be a face in the community and help build West Palm Beach up. And I love this quote. It's one of the most famous Hank Aaron quotes ever. And I just stumbled upon it once again yesterday after I was just reading up about Hank Aaron and reminiscing after his passing. And here is the quote. It took me 17 years to get 3,000 hits in baseball. It took one afternoon on the golf course. That is absolute perfection from an absolute legend, Hank Aaron, who again passes yesterday at the age of 86. He is a West Palm Beach and a Palm Beach County institution. I'm Ken Levick. It's Honda Classic Live. Tiger Woods, we're not going to see him until at least the Masters. What's the best case scenario for him? What's going to happen first? Another back surgery? Or a win in a tournament? Also, what can we expect from Brooks Koepka now that he is returning to competitive golf after resting his hip problems? Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post, globalgolfpost.com. He will tell us all about it next. Honda Classic Live on ESPN 106.3. We do golf every Saturday morning, and we bring in someone who is significantly smarter than me, and that's why he's our golf insider, Sean Fairholme of Global Golf Post, about to join us here on Honda Classic Live. I am Ken Levicka, and Sean Fairholme, read all of his work, globalgolfpost.com, does hang out with us each Saturday morning and is with us now here on Honda Classic Live. Sean, thanks as always for giving us some time, and I'm just going to fire off some Tiger Woods related questions to you. So let's just start with this. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that Tiger Woods' fifth back surgery, coming a full year plus after his last win, is the top news story of the week in golf?
It's never a good sign when that's the top news story for sure. I mean, we've been through this with Tiger a few times, right? He's had this surgery now several times, this exact one. So he had it a couple of times back in 2015. We're used to playing this this song and dance, right?
Yeah.
We're used to this at this point. But I know Rory said a couple of days ago that he was up on his feet immediately after having that surgery on December 23rd. But we need to kind of move past this, right? We have a lot of good golf happening. We have Rory and Tyrrell Haddon playing at Abu Dhabi, playing well. We have the Amex going on. It's never good when it's the lead headline that Tiger is having another back surgery.
Second Tiger Woods related question: are we going to see another back surgery or another major win first from Tiger Woods?
I think you'd have to go with the back surgery.
Yeah,
but I think we will see him, by the Masters. It's definitely possible that he could play a couple events in the Florida swing. I think you would probably be targeting that, but I would have to go with the back surgery, given how many that he's had at this point in his career. And even though he did win that 2019 Masters and played a phenomenal golf tournament, it had been, since the 2008 U.S. Open that his previous major had been. So I think if you're playing the odds, I would say the back surgery for sure.
And then final Tiger Woods question, is he more a competitor or a novelty moving forward as you look through the next 3-4 years of his career?
You know, I still think that there will be places where he can compete and win. I think he will win more golf tournaments. If you look at, you know, where his club head speed was in 2018, it was significantly faster than it was in 2020. He was all the way down to about 115 miles per hour club head speed last year, which was about 5, 6, 7 miles per hour slower than he had been. So I think there was some discomfort that he was experiencing in his back throughout last year. It'll be interesting to see whether he's able to, you know, increase his club head speed, because that's really a huge part of the game now, whether he can compete or not. And his iron play was also not very good, not up to his standards at all last year. So I think he will kind of regain some of that, in my opinion. I think he will be able to compete. Whether he'll be able to win another Masters or kind of compete in majors, that will be something that we'll have to see. I'm a little bit skeptical about that, but I still think that he will be a competitor, but maybe not the level that we're used to seeing. He'll only play about 9 or 10 tournaments a year and maybe pop up in 1 or 2 of those.
Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post. Read all of his work at globalgolfpost.com, including 2 outstanding features from the amateur level from here in Palm Beach County, based in Jupiter, that was posted last week. If you haven't caught those, globalgolfpost.com. So let's talk about the Amex, and of course we have Abu Dhabi this weekend as well, but let's start with the Amex because that is where Brooks Koepka is, and Koepka is making his 2021 debut. He has been resting all of the physical ailments that really started to take a toll on him in the final 4 months of 2020, especially that troublesome hip, and he says that, hey, he's ready to go, and he says that a great year for him is a couple of wins and a couple of majors in true Brooks Koepka fashion. It's going to probably be a little bit before we can make a full educated analysis on where he's at physically until we see a couple of tournaments from him, but he at least seems confident that the worst of his injuries are behind him now.
Yeah, you know, I know he's off to a little bit of a slow start at the Amex, but that's kind of to be expected, given that he hasn't really played that golf tournament in the past, and he's just getting his season started. But I think what you'll see from Koepka over 2021 is just that he's going to be someone with a chip on his shoulder, and I think we know what kind of golf he plays when he's in that mindset of having a chip on his shoulder. We've seen him win majors. Will he ever be that guy who goes and wins 4 majors out of 8 majors? I don't think so. That's a really tall order for anybody to pull off. I don't think he'll kind of get back to that space again, but he'll definitely be a factor at events like Augusta, where he's played well, you know, for several years in a row now, and definitely at you know, the PGA Championship, where he seems like he's always in the mix there. So I think we're going to see a healthier and kind of a rejuvenated Brooks Koepka in 2021.
So let's start here with the Amex, and we have Phil involved, and we have all of the big names for the most part involved, including Brooks Koepka, his first time playing here in 2021. And we're through the first couple of days, but what are you fully expecting from the Amex this weekend? What can we look forward to?
You know, one of the big storylines I'm looking at is Tony Finau, who you know, we've talked a lot about over the past few years. He's only been able to win once in his PGA Tour career. That was the 2016 Puerto Rico Open. So it's been a little while for him since he got a victory. And he's in the mix at the Amex. And, you know, he's been in the mix a lot throughout the past few years, a ton of top tens. He's played some really good golf, but hasn't been able to get it done. That would be a great storyline for golf if he were finally able to get a victory. And also another storyline, Chris Kirk, who battled alcoholism and depression a couple of years ago, had a great Sony Open last week where he just tied for second to get his PGA Tour status back. He's playing well again this week, which is just phenomenal to see. You know, he was a great player a few years ago, you know, fell off because he had some personal issues, but is playing some really good golf now. So I'm looking at those two storylines at the Amex this week.
You know what's fascinating to me, too, is that just looking ahead to next week when everything shifts to Torrey Pines, how many guys have altered their previous schedules, including someone that we just talked about, Brooks Koepka, to be there as basically a U.S. Open scout. A lot of guys are doing their early due diligence on Torrey Pines.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's going to be a tournament that they normally get a pretty solid field out there. You know, John Rahm usually plays well out there. Tony Pino, who I just mentioned, is plays very well at the Farmers Insurance Open each year. So there are going to be a lot more guys out there. They're going to have a great field. And, you know, you can only tell so much from playing a regular PGA Tour event compared to a major. Sure. We've seen this with Pebble Beach, for instance, which has hosted U.S. Opens, and they still have their normal PGA Tour event in February. And, you know, guys can only tell so much given that the conditions are not really at all similar to it. But you do get, you know, familiar with your surroundings. You know, for instance, if a guy has never played that course before, he'll know, you know, even what hotel to stay at, what, you know, just the overall lay of the land of that golf course. And that's a huge help for guys just coming into U.S. Open week, having to worry about a few less things, just knowing where everything is, and also having a general strategy of that course. It's a course where it's long, it's narrow, you really have to drive the ball well. The greens are pretty unpredictable, they're pretty bumpy late in the day, so you have to really be able to, you know, have a great ball striking week, because you're not going to be relying on making a ton of long putts. You know, it's going to be a lot of missed 10 to 20 foot putts on that golf course. So I think guys who have not played there in the past, it is very good experience just to be able to get out there.
Because you not only follow the game at every level so closely, but you also have played it for an awful long time, I did want to pick your brain on this, because Brooks Koepka made a comment about the Poa Greens this week, and he said that he's won two majors with Poa Greens, but he's still not comfortable on them, and that's part of the reason that he has decided to head to Torrey Pines and just start to get a little bit of a feel. What is it about the Poa Greens that make them so challenging and may make someone like Brooks Koepka, in his words, not comfortable?
You know, we've seen this at major championships in California specifically, where Poa Anna is, for the most part, really on that West Coast, Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines, a lot of, you know, Riviera, a lot of those famous courses in California have this grass. And the problem with it is that you just can't really get your ball to stay on line. That's really kind of the issue with it. It really is a bumpy surface. Even early in the morning, it's much better early in the morning than late in the day, but it's just a very difficult surface to be able to predict. And as you know, Ken, these guys are really just about predicting everything that they do and controlling everything that they do. And Poa kind of takes that out of their hands completely. You could hit a 10-foot putt, and it's supposed to break right to left, and all of a sudden you're looking up at it, and it's going the other way because it hit something in the grass, and it hit a bump in the grass, and it's heading the other way all of a sudden. I remember I went out and played a Pasatiempo, which is a very famous Alistair McKenzie design course. McKenzie is a famous designer, designed Augusta and a few other courses, and that was such a fun experience being out there playing that golf course, but so frustrating to play those greens, because even though they're in very nice conditions, it's not really about the condition of the greens. It's just the way that they are, just the way that the grass is, that it's very unpredictable to be able to get the ball in line.
That is a really, really good breakdown for, in a layman's way, of those Poa Greens. Again, if it's tricky for Brooks Koepka, and he's going to identify that as being not comfortable for him, I think it's worth talking about here on Honda Classic Live. Sean Fairholm, Global Golf Post. He's our golf insider. Read all of his work at globalgolfpost.com. A quick look at Abu Dhabi. Rory McIlroy, the Jupiter resident, was your first-round leader. He is still in contention, but you're also seeing Tyrell Hatton make a huge push up the leaderboard going into the weekend. Abu Dhabi, pretty competitive and a pretty good field out there. What are you looking forward to today and tomorrow from Abu Dhabi?
We'll see if Tyrell Hatton can close this large lead that he's built here. You know, he is kind of in command of this golf tournament. We saw that he played really well in tough conditions last year at Bay Hill when he won that golf tournament, which was, you know, the wind was crazy there. The rough was crazy. This is more of a birdie fest, which kind of shows just how world class of a game that Hatton has. He is a guy who is definitely a top 20 world class talent, and a guy who, you know, everybody should know his name. It's becoming a household name at this point. This is a great field, and it would be a huge victory for him to add this to his resume. I think, you know, we'll see if Rory can kind of get back into things here and be able to challenge him. That would be fun viewing on the weekend, but it looks like Haddon is in command of this golf room at the moment.
It was also fun viewing at the Sony Open. Kevin Na catching fire late and goes on to a one-shot win. That was truly someone who just got locked in at the right time last Sunday.
It sure was, and poor Brendan Steele. I feel so bad for him. Last year at the Sony Open, he kind of squandered a lead down the stretch. This year at the Sony Open, he did the same thing. Poor guy, he just can't close that golf tournament. He plays so well there, but has not been able to win. And in steps Kevin Na, who has just been kind of a consistent player throughout the past few years. Won in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, has just been a steady player throughout the past few years of his PGA Tour career. Great putter. He's not a guy who's going to win at a lot of golf courses. He's a pretty short hitter. So I think what he said after winning that golf tournament is that he has about 12 or 13 courses that he really feels he can win at. You know, the places like Colonial, Harbortown, and Wailea, where they play the Sony Open, is obviously in that kind of short golf course where it's really about trying to get the proper angle to the hole location, and you can't really bomb and gouge it. So that suits Kevin Na's game, and he played a fantastic golf tournament, and he's in the winner's circle again. So no surprise there.
With the news that perhaps the Olympics are going to be outright canceled in 2021, reports coming out on Thursday night that was going to be the case. However, the Tokyo Olympic Committee says, no, that's not the case. But public opinion in Japan right now is very much in favor of just scrapping the Olympics altogether and rescheduling the Tokyo Games for 2032. There are a number of huge names that are in the top 10 and qualifying for the Olympics, and that includes Justin Thomas, Jupiter resident, Rory McIlroy, Jupiter resident. You have Bryson DeChambeau in there, John Rahm. How upset would players like that be if they did not have the Olympics this year and those players that I just mentioned didn't have the chance to go to Japan? Would it really be anything that would cause them a lot of disappointment, or is there an allure to the Olympics?
You know, if you go back to 2016, there were a lot of guys who skipped it. Rory skipped it. Adam Scott skipped it. There were a lot of guys who did not want to play in that event. That was kind of due to Zika, or at least that was the reason that was given for a lot of players. I think, you know, truthfully, if you gave these guys truth serum, I think they would say that they just were not really sure what to expect with the Olympics. A lot of guys still consider it far, far below majors or WGC. Some guys even consider it below a normal PGA Tour event. So it is one of those things where, you know, there are some guys like Ricky Fowler who went and got a tattoo of the Olympic rings and he was, you know, in the opening ceremonies and, you know, marching with all the other athletes. There are guys like that who are super into it, and then there are guys who just don't care about it whatsoever, and they think that it's a waste of time. And so it really is fascinating to see, you know, especially guys from other countries who are not, you know, not a part of the American golf scene in the top 10 or top 50 in the world, who would have a chance. Guys who are, you know, whether they're from, you know, Canada or Mexico or wherever they may be, some guys are very invested and some guys are not. You know, when you look at the schedule, there is a WGC at Memphis right after when the Olympics are supposed to be. And it kind of falls right in between the Open Championship and the FedEx St. Jude Invitational in Memphis. So that would be a pretty tough, tall order for a lot of guys to play all three of those events. So some guys may be kind of, you know, breathing a sigh of relief saying, okay, I don't have to go overseas to Japan. Let me just play the Open Championship and then go over to Memphis. So we'll see how it works out, but I would agree it is not looking good that the Olympics are going to take place right now. I'd be pretty skeptical about that at the moment.
And I suppose too, just looking ahead, it would only be about a 5-week turnaround from the end of the Olympics to the Ryder Cup. So there would be a number of names that would be involved in the Olympics. You would think, you would presume, that probably would prefer just to park it at home and continue to prepare for Ryder Cup play as well, as opposed to going to Japan.
And then, you know, you add in those three FedEx Cup events, Northern Trust, BMW Championship, and the Tour Championship. I mean, guys want to be in that top 30 for the Tour Championship to be able to play in all four of the majors the next year. Yeah, that would be, there's just a lot going on. Guys are going to have to make decisions. So I think there will be a large amount of players who are going to be kind of happy, silently happy. They're not going to say it out loud, but I think they'll be silently happy if the Olympics do get canceled.
Well, now that Sean Fairholme and I properly crapped on Olympic golf, we'll go ahead and call this a Saturday here. But, Sean, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. And we'll do it again next Saturday. We'll review what happened at the Abu Dhabi as well as the Amex and look ahead to a weekend talking Torrey Pines. And I know that's something that you definitely have no problem with.
Oh, not at all. I'm looking forward to it. That should be fun. Thanks for having me on.
Sean Fairholme, Global Golf Post, globalgolfpost.com. More to come here on Honda Classic Live, including Rick Harrow, the sports professor. The Arnold Palmer Invitational, 25% capacity. What does that mean to the state of Florida just 2 weeks after the Honda Classic announced it'll have fans? We'll discuss that and more. Honda Classic Live, ESPN 1. Honda Classic Live continues on a Saturday morning. ESPN 106.3, free ESPN app, and, of course, on your smart speaker. And we come to you from the downtown West Palm Beach, Phillips Point, ESPN West Palm Studios, right off the Intracoastal. And time now to chat with Rick Harrow, the sports professor. You hear him all over syndicated national radio. Also, his book is The Sports Business Handbook, wherever books are sold, in mascotbooks.com. He also is my co-host on the Boardroom, presented by the Honda Classic, and we like to have him on every Saturday to talk about the sports business side of golf. But before we do get into that, I do think that we should touch on Hank Aaron, and not only because he's a baseball legend, passing away yesterday at age 86. Some still do hold him in the esteem of being the home run king. But also, he was a staple in the Palm Beach County and specifically the West Palm Beach community. And I think that that's something that may be overlooked from people who even live within our listening range. But Hank Aaron was someone who did an awful lot for this area.
Well, when the Braves were training at the, you know, Palm Beach I guess with Palm Beach County Municipal Stadium, yeah. I forgot what it was called, but, you know, he was a absolute fixture, and, you know, you saw him there, and you saw him in later life. I'll remember one quick story, which kind of tells you everything you need to know. I did an interview 3 years ago with him on for Reuters, and then we repurposed it for NBC, and it was 15 minutes. It was, you know, and not an insignificant amount of time, and I didn't ask him or talk to him personally, and I got his number, didn't talk to him personally about what the questions were going to be. We went through it, and it was, you know, some race relations questions, some business questions, some endorsements questions, the standard, you think you were born too early, which, you know, is kind of a fun question for guys to handle these days. And he was gracious. He was elegant. He was eloquent. And then the thing I'll never forget is he – obviously, he was on time. He called the studio. He did it all himself. And then he called me after, and he said, was that okay? I messed up a couple of things. Was I okay? Wow. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that just kind of tells you a little bit about the man and the character. And it was, see if I can find it. If I can find it, we'll run it one of these days.
Yeah. Now, Hank Aaron, certainly someone that did not shy away from social causes, and obviously his battles with racism and what he experienced in his life, and then also able to become an absolute icon. It did great, great work in the West Palm Beach community where he lived for an awful long time. And again, he is someone that means an awful lot to the sporting community here, and that's why he is worth discussing on a golf-centric show like Honda Classic Live, because he was really an institution, as we talk with Rick Harrow, the sports professor. And again, read his book, The Sports Business Handbook. You can get that at mascotbooks.com or wherever books are sold. This past Wednesday on the Boardroom, presented by the Honda Classic, you were able to sit down with the former Florida Senate President, Bill Galvano, and he gave fantastic insight into what sports means to the state of Florida from a profile and from a financial standpoint, and the PGA Tour swing, and more specifically the Honda Classic, certainly plays into the importance of sports in this state.
Well, you know, and he's a Gator who went to University of Miami Law School. He, by the way, a bit of insight into Bill. He's just gone through rotator cuff surgery, but he hits the ball about 290. So
wow.
It's like, yeah, hard to believe, since I'll hit a 290 in two. And he, you know, he's just a great, golf, supporter. But more important than that, sports is a big business. And, you know, you can agree or disagree with the extent of Governor DeSantis, quote unquote, opening the state. But the one thing that's clear is we wouldn't have the NBA bubble. We wouldn't have had the WNBA bubble. We wouldn't have had, you know, 15 active spring training locations and the Raptors playing their games in Tampa and on if it wasn't for a, you know, very specific understanding from the top down that sports is big business, especially in a tourist-based economy. And Bill Galvano is a Pied Piper of that. And, you know, it's, we're lucky here that, and hopefully Ken Kennerly will hear this, but we're lucky here that, we have somebody that, be so supportive from a legislative perspective. You know, he's no longer there. He's emeritus, but boy, he packs a great deal of weight. And so it's good to know that we've got people representing, the county, and the events on a statewide level that are so significant and so intelligent and so connected about the business of sports and the business of golf.
The Arnold Palmer Invitational, in related news, did announce this week that it will have limited fans like the Honda Classic. And I'm beginning to get the sense that the rest of the PGA Tour, and we may, who knows, we may gradually, though, be in better situation with COVID as more and more vaccines are delivered and then obviously used. But as we progress through the year, I've got to think the PGA Tour will look at these Florida events. They're each going to have limited fans like the Honda Classic, and I've got to think that is going to at least present some confidence that, yes, these other tournaments in these other states can successfully do this as well.
Well, and the other piece of this, and please don't take this the wrong way, but it's good to know that we have people in Florida who know what they're doing. I mean, you know,
sure.
Ken has been doing this for 9,000 years, and his backhand's not great, but his golf acumen and that management is great, and, of course, he's tied in with – you know, the IMG folks and Hollis Kavner and ProLinks on the other side with all of his events that he does, the Valspar in Florida and, you know, the event they had in South Dakota and otherwise where you know how to manage crowds when it's really difficult. So we're obviously in good hands and we have a good legacy and it's, I'm sure, going to be a good report because, look, when you have limited fans and you have a week-long event in March where it's February, March, where it's, you know, in the 80s on a good day, you're going to get a lot of business done, and you're going to get a lot of mentions, and you're going to get a lot of stuff done that you'll do regardless of how many fans are actually out on the course watching golf, and that's important.
Let's wrap with this. I opened this morning's show simply by making the point, hey, Tiger Woods once again stole the headlines this week with another back surgery, and my point is, as big a Tiger fan as I am, that can no longer dominate golf headlines. We've got to get to a point where we are ushering in the new era. That's got to be left in the background, certainly covered, but it can't take over because it's gotten to a point where Tiger is no longer competitive, and we know that the brand is strong. It will always be strong. He's always going to be synonymous with being the greatest or at least one of the greatest of all time. But to me, it seems like Tiger has become more a novelty and will remain so as the back surgeries continue to pile up. Where do you see Tiger, the figure, Tiger, the competitor here in the course of pro golf in 2021?
Many comments from your insightful run-on multiple question. first, you know, this is a back surgery small B. And as I understand it, and I ain't no doctor, as you know, but this is not one where you reorganize all the vertebrae and he has to be in hospital for 9 years. So it's, you can't minimize back surgery, but I guess you could argue it could be worse. The second thing that's kind of important to all this is that notwithstanding the HBO documentary, which was 60% good, 40% not, but, you know, accurate because you got to move on, Tiger is portrayed as a comeback kid. And he becomes the darling of, frankly, every boardroom. He's smiling. He's now connecting with fans. People like him and not afraid of him, which is really important. And then here's a comment that's really important. Jeff Lurie, who owns the Eagles and is a good friend, has said the key to pro sports from his NFL perspective or anybody is what he calls monetizing hope. and with the Eagles and how they are terrible now, you know, the beauty of it after you hire a new coach is you can always think of how good you were, but also how good you could be. And I will say this, Tiger, and the Masters, you know, last April, it monetizes hope because, you know, we all think that he's his talent's not that good anymore, and we all think that he's not going to compete every time. But boy, we said that about that Masters, and we're all happy about being wrong. And can we have it happen one more time? And by the way, if we can have it happen one more time, how about three more?
Yeah, and I suppose we probably could have said something similar about Jack leading into the 86 Masters, and that ended up coming to fruition. I know we're not quite there yet. It just feels like to me we're getting closer and closer to the era where Tiger shows up at majors and we give him standing ovations and it's great to see him, just like we had with Arnie and with Jack, as opposed to him actually competing for these championships.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do two things. We're going to wrap this up right now. We're going to save it. And then we're going to send it to Tiger. And he's going to kick your ass. I'm sorry. He's just going to – can you say kick your ass?
Yeah, you're good.
He's going to come do it, man. I'm going to give him your home number. And there's nothing like a Tiger who feels like he needs to prove something. And, again, I think you're probably right, although I'm never going to admit that. But we did say that about Jack in 86. And, you know, Tiger – it's going to get us through the decade. Let's put it that way.
And you are right. You're on to me. This is a long play for me to actually have Tiger hear this, and it drives him and inspires him to win the Masters upon his return from this back procedure in April. So that would, like, full disclosure, that would make me the happiest possible sports fan to see that happen, and I hope that I'm completely wrong. So this is marked. We will re-rack it, and I will gladly eat crow and whatever else is thrown my way if Tiger ends up winning a major here in 2021 or even next year.
Well, listen, I will tell you this. If Tiger wins a major, you're going to eat more than crow.
Yeah, I'm going to be eating bleep. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I got to say. And the other thing, too, is we're going to rack this up. And, you know, with the limited contact that I have with Tiger, we'll do a two-part. I'll mention Ken Levicka. He'll say, who the hell is he? I'll deliver this MP3 to him. And then he and I will march on your house.
Perfect. Great. Perfect. An insurrection at the Levicka household. I am looking forward to that. Rick, awesome stuff as always. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you Wednesday for the boardroom, okay?
All right, man. See you soon.
Rick Haro, the sports professor. We'll tie up some loose ends, including Phil Mickelson in a very bizarre scenario involving the former president of the United States. It's Honda Classic Live on ESPN 106.3. 106.3. I have got to get to this before we call it a morning here on Honda Classic Live. Ken Levicka with you, and Phil Mickelson not only in the news because he is competing at the American Express Championship this weekend, but also because of a pardon, one of the hundreds that were given by President Donald Trump before he left office this past Wednesday. The saga of Billy Walters coming back to the forefront. Gambler Billy Walters, who was serving time in prison with a bizarre case that involved Phil Mickelson back in 2016. Walters was forced to repay more than $40 million and went to prison for his role in an insider trading plan that involved Dean Foods. As part of that plan, Walters had allegedly given Phil stock tips that helped him earn profits that enabled him to pay off gambling debts to Walters. Now, Mickelson was investigated. He was never in jeopardy of any sort of legal issues like jail time, but he did pay $1 million plus interest back to the government after an SEC investigation in 2016. Mickelson was a relief defendant in the case of Billy Walters, but Walters went to prison and blamed Phil Mickelson for not going to bat for him, for not coming to his defense, and was very open about that. Walters has maintained his innocence throughout the process, but this past week, when the pardons came out from Donald Trump, Billy Walters had his sentence commuted. And one of the names in the White House press release that was identified as someone who had come to the defense of, who had written in support of Billy Walters was Phil Mickelson. Well, Phil Mickelson says, no, that's not the case. His attorney, Glenn Cohen, contacted ESPN and said, quote, Phil had nothing to do with this. Mickelson is denying any claim, even by the president of the United States, or at least the former one, they had anything to do with Billy Walters' sentence being commuted and him becoming a free man. And so either the White House and Donald Trump lying about Phil Mickelson reaching out, or Phil Mickelson didn't want it to be made public that he had reached out in defense of Billy Walters. Regardless, it is a story that will not die. It's a story that continues on, and Phil Mickelson has not had any further comment on it this weekend at the American Express Championship. But Billy Walters, his sentence commuted after the very bizarre insider trading investigation that involved Phil Mickelson all the way back in 2016. And with that, we're going to say goodbye here on Honda Classic Live. We'll have a recap of the American Express Championship next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on Honda Classic Live. For Sean Fairholme of Global Golf Post and Rick Haro, the sports professor, I'm Ken LaVica. This has been Honda Classic Live on ESPN 106.3. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.